Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. Glad to be with you today. I'm your host, Christopher Morris, broadcasting from beautiful and getting colder every day, Minneapolis, Minnesota. As we begin, I just want to thank Donald Newsom at Blogging Service for this opportunity. Amy Butson, my lovely life companion, without whom I would not have made it this far, and family and friends who've supported me along the way. I want to start by just talking a little bit about some of the topics we're going to get into. I'm totally open to exploring all areas. I'm totally looking forward to talking to the audience as we gain the ability to take calls and exchange. I work really well talking with people, and when you tell me kind of what's going on with you, it triggers a process here where I can start just kind of giving a little spirit stream to help sort things out, or maybe give some thoughtful things to think about. We can cover anything from the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, astral plane. I'd really like to talk a lot about how beings, people, and all entities that have crossed over to the other side are not as far away as we sometimes think they are. We can definitely learn to raise our energy and tune in and receive real messages from people. And your intuition can lead you to exactly where you need to go if you allow it to do what it wants to do. So often we try to hold it in check a little bit, or maybe a little bit of doubt or hesitation, but we can learn to trust ourselves and go with the flow, as they say. Anything is possible. I myself feel that even as we speak, this opportunity and this show has come to me to speak with you just simply because I have surrendered to the process and allowed all the information in my life that I've given my life, and all the experience and everything, just to kind of fall into a relaxed state. One thing I like to talk about is mental territory. It's a way of not thinking about things so concretely, so rigidly. In life, as we grow up, we tend to learn concepts, learn ideas, and define our world based on what we have put in our head. And after a while, we may feel called to go farther, to search for more, to let the brain kind of do its thing. We don't have to always try to remember things. In my experience, I have found that we always remember everything. We can be in touch with our observation place, our witness, as some masters have called it in the past. We will recover every experience we've ever had and then have it at our disposal whenever we would like. We simply have to get the knack of retrieving it. We tune our attention inwards and just trust that the mind will do what we ask it to. Not struggle, not try to force the mind into holding ideas, but to make friends with it, to really learn it inside and out. And as we go into all these topics, the chakra systems and past lives, and I can definitely say that if you listen to this show and the guests that I'm going to have on and the callers that'll call in and all of our conversations and as we cover topics, I believe anyone listening will develop their psychic abilities. They'll come to understand more about themselves, more about the world. And it's not always just through gaining more information. It's through learning to make your own link the universe to draw from the universe itself whatever it is we need. That's really, in my mind, the message of the old Zen saying that when a student is ready, the master will come. It's not going to always be in the form of some guy with a beard who walks up and does kind of funky things and tries to throw you off or wake you up or make you laugh or something along those lines. Sometimes it comes just in the life experience itself, in the moment itself. In fact, if we really look deeply into it, we could see that every moment is like that. Every moment is teaching us exactly what we need to do. Even if it seems like we're in a tough place or like we're wasting time or things just aren't happening the way they want to, we can't get stuck there. We got to try to look into it, sort it out, to understand it, and then be strong enough to carry forth what we know in our heart to be true. And further on this concept of mental territory, I'd like to remind people not to think just because we say one thing, we are somehow against another. In the way that the dichotomy of most information, mainstream information systems sets up, we think we have to be for or against, here or there, this or that. But no, we can be exposed to all kinds of things, anything goes. Our life is ours to do with as we please. And if we learn to more tune into what makes us happy and believe we can do that, we will change not only ourselves and be happier and more fulfilled, but we will then share that energy, that uplifting energy, with those around us, and so on and so forth. And in this way, we literally change the world. It doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen in one big stroke, but every day as we live and choose and make every choice that we have in front of us, we are creating the karma, the cause and effect that then will come back to us in our life. Now, this is not like if I punch you and you punch me back or something like that, like sometimes we think of. It's more like, you know, if I cultivate, I mean, that's kind of a factor, and for sure, but the deeper meaning is we. That's why Jesus is saying of you reap what you sow, and in fact, that comes up in many scriptures here and there in various forms, that we need to plant good seeds in our life to hope to have a good result, to have the fruits of our labors be sweet. And today is such a special day for me to be in this position to reach out and share who I am and my journey, and soon you will share with me your journey, and we can continue to grow and grow and grow together. So I picked out one of my songs. We certainly can't have a Creative Cosmos show without a little creativity. So I picked out one of my songs that I wrote in my early days of exploration that kind of reflects how I feel today. It's called Things Is Rolling My Way. So here we go. Things Is Rolling My Way. Well, things is rolling my way. Things is rolling my way. Good day, sweet Jesus. Things is rolling my way. Well, things is rolling my way. Yeah, things is a-rolling my way. Today, sweet Jesus, things is rolling my way. Oh, everybody, give a body. Oh, everybody, give a body a hug. Oh, everybody, give somebody. Oh, everybody, give somebody some love. Oh, yeah, things is rolling my way. Oh, things is rolling my way. Good day, sweet Jesus. All things is rolling my way. All right. Feels good just to cut loose and sing out like that. Excuse me, I'll take a quick little drink here. Thank you. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about myself. Maybe some of you have read a little bit of my writing here and there, but for the most part, you probably don't know much about me. So I'll give a little bit of background. I'd like to tell you about how I learned about the Western art culture. And then later on, I learned about the Eastern wisdom traditions. And then how I came to bring them together and unify them and create the vision that became the creative cosmos. It was a process that I think if I explain maybe might ring true with some of you who are also on your own path and are facing challenges or trying to figure out what it is you were meant to do. So to start with, we'll start with where I started. At least right now in this body, the being that has been here since the age of 0 to 31. Of course, my soul has been through many lifetimes, but that's a story for another day, which we definitely will get into. So, I was born in Alpena, Michigan, which is way up towards the tip of the Lower Peninsula on the East Coast, on November 20th, 1973. So for some of you astrologers out there, that makes me a Scorpio, and it also makes me a right down the middle Generation Xer. Something that I'm actually proud to be. I really like the people in my generation. I think they're bright and friendly and open-minded, and I think as time goes on, we will begin to really make a difference in the situation. And society and across the world. We'll reach out to each other and share, even as we are right now, you and me, talking about these things, exploring these ideas, allowing ourselves the luxury of enjoying being here and enjoying being ourselves. So I'll start with where my musical training started at. 8 years old, I started playing trumpet, studying with my father, and then later on, as I got a little older, I began taking lessons from the high school band director in our area. And of course, I practiced every day, all the time, covering all kinds of music, all kinds of solos. I learned how to read music really well and did tons of music competitions and bands and all kinds of things like that. And before I graduated, or probably maybe halfway through high school, I began studying at Central Michigan University. This was about 3 hours away from where I grew up. And I had a really great professor named Paul Wilworth. He's a very distinguished and wise man who gave me my first sense of real purpose, like like there was something behind learning things. It wasn't just because somebody told me to learn it, and someday who knows what, but no, he showed me what it was to experience growth and expansion through accruing experience and understanding. Yeah, I didn't know that quite at the time. This has definitely been a reflection that I have been able to appreciate more and more what he did for me. And this also happens, too, when we have people we've cared about who've crossed over to the other side. Hey, they still love us, and we still love them, and our experiences and all the things we've shared will continue to unfold, continue to reveal deeper and deeper qualities as time goes on. Our relationship continues. So I ended up going to school there for my undergraduate at Central Michigan, got a music education degree, and it was a really good school. They gave me a really good background, good training. We covered everything, music theory, music history, played in all kinds of ensembles, did a little composition, did a little conducting, learned all the instruments, how to play all the band instruments. But where I really learned a lot was after school, late at night, or during the summer times when a group of my friends and myself would just sit and listen to music. Hours and hours and hours of music. And we went right back to the beginning. Now, you know, most of us know that his kind of recorded history starts probably in Egypt, you know. I definitely believe that Atlantis and Lemuria were real, especially Atlantis. I don't know that much about Lemuria, but I have a good feeling that Atlantis was definitely real. And then on to Egypt, and of course into Greece and Rome. But most of what we consider our Western art culture really starts somewhere around 1200, the Middle Ages. And at this time, music was largely chant in the Catholic Church. Kind of that kind of thing. And then after a while, they started adding octaves and fifths and making it a little more complicated. Since I'm only one guy, I can't do that for you. But you know what I mean. So then this got more and more expanded and moved into one of my favorite time periods, the Renaissance. Pretty much most historians agree it starts somewhere around 1400. And it No, maybe what was it, 1450, I guess, was more like it. And it goes on to about 1600. And some of these chants became a lot more involved. And then we started getting some secular music as well. Secular meaning just like fun tunes, not always having to have a very serious meaning. And towards the end of the Renaissance, they started introducing a lot more instruments. That's kind of where our little instrumental ensembles came into play. A couple guys by the name of Gabrielli really got the ball rolling there, writing for brass instruments and string ensembles. And we go on after that to the Baroque. And the early Baroque was a little different. We kind of don't think about the early Baroque all that much for some reason, the 1600s. And like 1600 to 1650 or a little bit past that. We usually, when we think of the Baroque, of course we think of Bach, Vivaldi, Telemann, and some of these people. And Bach himself stands tall, not just in the Baroque period, but is, in my mind, a pillar of Western civilization. I once heard a story that if somebody were to spend 60 years every day, that's how long it would take for them to copy, just copy Bach's complete works, let alone write it. And Bach traveled around by foot, once traveling a couple hundred miles to hear another composer and performance that he could enjoy and be influenced by. And of course he had many kids who themselves became prominent composers, C.P. Bach, Wilhelm Friedemann Bach. And of course the paintings of this time and the architecture all became, as the definition of Baroque, highly ornate. That was really a quality. When you hear a tune, it's almost always the Baroque. It tends to have a pulse that just keeps on trucking. Something like that. And then this really came to a peak. Music really became involved, had intricate harmonies. And if you haven't really listened to a lot of Bach, I totally recommend it. That it's not just something to put on in the background. It's a tremendous experience that will change your life. So they kind of, after the Baroque period, it got so involved that they kind of had to back things off a little bit. And they went back to more of the Greek model. And this begins the time of the classical era. And also very important, concept called the Enlightenment. So, of course, our big composers of this era were Mozart and Haydn, and the American Revolution was happening at this time of Mozart, the 1750 to 1780, 1790. I think Mozart died around 1791 or something like that. But anyway, that general time period was a huge philosophical time period where we were getting back a little bit to the body, mind, spirit, and streamlining things and really getting back to almost like the Renaissance, kind of free expression and all kinds of things like that. So then our bridge to the future comes with Beethoven, who did study some with Haydn. And early on in my life, Beethoven was a hero of mine. He still is. His just dedication and vision and ability to manifest spirit in music is amazing. Many things we take for granted in life might not have been possible if Beethoven didn't do what he did. And musically, he took the fairly small orchestra of the classical era and the pretty simple harmonies that, you know, they'd always end up right where you think they should be. Yon, dun, 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 dun. So Beethoven began to play with that and kind of put off the ending there a little bit. You'd think it was coming in, then he'd extend it some more, and the density of the music would get a lot thicker, and pretty soon more instruments and more brass and more percussion, and all the way up until the end of his life, where of course Beethoven 9 has the famous Ode to Joy section that has a huge chorus. Now we see things like that when we go to the symphony now and from later composers, but up to that point there wasn't a whole lot of that humongous grand scale presentation. This paved the way for a lot of what was to come, like Schubert, very melodious composer, Mendelssohn, Schumann, Brahms, of course. Then we get to Bruckner, and then Mahler, where things, that whole idea I just described about Beethoven getting bigger and bigger and bigger, well, Mahler went bigger yet, humongous. And these symphonies also, I totally recommend both Beethoven and Mahler. Anyone who is in the Western society and considers themselves to be educated and well-rounded and really cares about making themselves a better person should definitely spend some time listening to these. They have an effect. They awaken our energies. They make us believe that more is possible. And going into the 20th century, we had things change a little bit, a lot of experimentation. The traditional tonality kind of broke down to where, by the end of it, the composer can do whatever they like, draw from every single style, and are completely free. So anyway, we listened to all this music going on and on and on through all these time periods, and it really was a education above and beyond even that of our university. So that was kind of my undergraduate in a nutshell. I went into the Western culture because it was a good time to kind of go over some of it and some of my favorites. And so after undergraduate school, I student taught in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and went to graduate school, Michigan State, where I studied performance and orchestral repertoire and got deeper into some of these things with a guy named Rich Illman. He's a good friend of mine, good trumpet player, strong chops, no fear, can just nail any trumpet part no matter how difficult. And and I began playing gigs all the time. And this time went by pretty quickly. And following that, I ended up going to the University of Illinois, where I got a teaching assistant position. So I taught a bunch of classes and took some trumpet and was working on a DMA under a really good man, Michael Ewald, also amazing trumpet player. Played principal trumpet in Illinois Symphony, one of the big symphonies, and all kinds of things. Great teacher, well known. And played a lot of professional gigs in Illinois, like Danville Symphony, Champaign-Urbana Symphony, Sinfonia da Camera, a little bit with Illinois Symphony, subbing and stuff. But, you know, I just made around the area. So that was pretty much my Western education, through the university, studying all these composers, appreciating the art of the same time periods, and just absorbing all this material. Well, somewhere along the way at this point, kind of halfway through my University of Illinois experience, things changed for me a little bit. I started feeling a little bit, maybe trapped in a situation, like I felt kind of a compression, like I knew that there was more to me, and here I was getting so far along in my training that I was finding success. This was what I had been working towards, but I also felt like something was missing and I didn't know what it was. So when I met a couple of jazz musicians, Ray Sasaki and Shabda Wertle, they really helped me with this. Ray's grandfather was a Japanese Zen master, and Shabad been with Osho, a sannyasin of Osho, and spent a lot of time in India, and they had just a whole nother level of wisdom that they shared with me. It was completely amazing. And around these two guys and their totally positive and loving energy, we formed modern-day Sangha. We had Buddha's three gems, the two Buddhas helping us out, the Dharma, which was all the books we were reading, and the Sangha, me and this huge group of people that kind of came together and shared this experience. So the first book I read in this period that really got the ball rolling was Teach Not Han's Living Buddha, Living Christ. This totally tuned me into the idea of the present moment. And it's a really great book to share with somebody who's just starting to get into the metaphysical. It doesn't even go into the metaphysical, really. It's more just like an introduction into a different way of looking at things, not being so involved with the outside world, just being by a mind and watching what's occurring. Another book that I read at that time, early times, was Walk On by Christmas Humphreys, and Stories of the Zen Masters. And pretty soon after reading these books, it started prompting my first Zen experiences. Now, this is not just some phrase like we hear, oh, let's get our Zen on or something crazy like that. But Zen is something you can't describe, because that's very much the nature of it. You don't put it into words. You don't say, hey, Zen is this, X, Y, Z. No, Zen is something that you've got to discover for yourself. So as I was reading these books, and they were kind of helping me release some of my conditioning, and one day I was just sitting outside on the University of Illinois campus, and I was suddenly outside of everything. It suddenly was just completely quiet. I noticed, tuned in to all the trees around me, the birds. I could hear the birds singing, and I saw the people bustling back and forth. I didn't even feel like I was a part of it. I was so quiet and just tuned in, and I felt life, and I was full of wonder. A little bit after this, excuse me, I'll take another little drink here. After this, Shab, who at the time, the Osho Sannyasin, who was the head of the jazz department, he introduced me to Osho, and with a videotape. One night he's like, I've got something to show you. After I was talking to him a little bit about some of my early experiences. So we stayed up late one night, and I watched Osho videotape for the first time, and it just blasted open a whole new world for me. I just was watching it, and I was just in disbelief. I was like, is he really saying these things? You gotta be kidding me. It was like I felt some of these things, but I didn't even know I felt it. But then when he described it, kind of released some of the pressure and freed it up a little bit. And I realized that my soul had been crying for more. That's what this whole thing was about during this time, is that it wasn't just more knowledge, it was more in another dimension, another plane. And it ended up being better than I could have ever preconceived it. It was just wonderful. That's how I say to people, to how they know if they have a real Zen experience, is that you can't preconceive it. It's something new. It's something outside of the normal, outside of the normal brain patterns. And what a relief for me to find out why I felt that way, and that there was indeed something more, something a lot more. That life is magical, and anything's possible, and it's friendly, and I don't have to feel bad. I can feel good, and I can maintain that, and I don't have to hold back. I can dive into life, and I can share myself with people, and I can love, and I can be free, and I can just let it fly and live my full potential. It was just an amazing time for me. So I just started going through one Osho book after another, after another, after another, you know, from the mustard seed, and the grass grows by itself, nowhere to go but inward, heartbeat of the absolute, book of secrets. Now, if you're someone who just wants one Osho book, the book of secrets is definitely highly recommended. There's some early versions where they have it kind of chopped up in smaller books, but most big bookstores carry, like Borders or Barnes & Noble or something like that. They carry the big Osho Book of Secrets, and that itself is a lifetime project. So as I was really just tearing through these books, I started having just a flood of what was called satoris, just these little windows of where I suddenly would see something, and it just almost disorient me. I'd be cruising down the road and just on my way somewhere, maybe do a gig or something, and suddenly my mind would open up and I'd be like, oh, the balance of the opposites is in the center, or just something crazy like that would pop into my mind. And not only would it be some kind of crystallization, but then I'd be flooded with this feeling of energy release and just awareness, and I'd almost be in ecstatic state for a while. And all these kind of things just started popping a little at a time, these realizations that just would come out of nowhere. Suddenly, my energy would just start rising up my spine, and my body would start taking poses, and then I'd see after the fact that they were yogic poses and that I'd seen them before, things like that. That's how you know that you're moving on the right path. You feel good and things start happening by themselves. So, yeah, it was a time of moving from the head, you know, being trapped in my mind and just thinking in my mind and grinding away, the same old thing, the same old thing, the same old thing. Ah, stop. Open up. It's endless skies and a whole nother way of relating to the universe. You can just talk to the universe and it'll respond. You can just think of something and it will come to you. And I started to realize that there was a whole other set of rules at play here, kind of. Not really rules, but, you know, like some people call it universal law or the Tao. Just this thing right down the middle that you keep bouncing off of until you find yourself in harmony with it. And then once you kind of align with it, it just opens up this whole other dimension, this whole other world. So then I moved on a little bit to some other masters. I was totally thinking that Osho was just completely, I mean, of course he is unique, but I thought he was just the only one who ever had this for a little while there. Like, it was just so unusual to me and such a new kind of a thing and such a new level. And I was just totally in sync with it, you know, not a serious spirituality, but a happy and life-affirming spirituality that you put the science and the religion together and you just make everything better. Really awesome. But then the next book I took off of Shab's shelf, I was like, hey, what's this? It's called Autobiography of a Yogi. And he's like, oh yeah, take it, read it. And I was like, yeah, okay. And I read it, and I was like, oh boy, I mean, here's somebody else who's saying the same kind of profound things. Different time, different place, different way, but still it had that same potency, that really powerful quality. And, you know, later I was to find that, yes, there were such people like that. I found Barry Long. He lived in Australia. I think he was from Britain. But he lived in Australia, and his books are just amazing. He covers things that I found no other source for. And then, of course, I just started running down the list of many of the popular esoteric books, like all the Carlos Castaneda books. And I really think that anybody who's into this and into self-transformation should read the Robert Monroe books as well, and even do their tapes. And it really describes the astral realm in an amazingly clear way and easy to understand. And yeah, just read all the books, chakras, kundalini, channelings, energy body, you name it. Just go through it. And like I said in the beginning, don't have any kind of like preconception or a rigid way of considering it, but just read it and see what triggers you, see what awakens you, see what you find yourself enjoying and being drawn towards. I've told friends of mine just recently, you know, that once you start doing this, you'll start finding books practically flying into your hands for nothing, but now when you show a willingness, suddenly things start revealing themselves. You start seeing all these things that you didn't see before. Yeah, and then I also enjoyed the work of Soraya Chinmoy. I saw him come through Minneapolis a few years ago. I had never really heard of him, and then after I saw him live, I began to read some of his books. One of the things that he did, I'd like to do right now, and he would play the flute and try to awaken spirit in people that way. So I'm going to play a little flute solo here. We'll call it a soul call. Okay. So, yeah, like I said, man, that always feels good to just cut loose and express yourself in any kind of a way. So, you know, once more, I'll take a little drink here. Okay. So then, so now I had all this new information and this new course in life, and so I moved to Minneapolis in search of my true life calling. I had begun to remove all my old habit patterns, and then I was kind of in this void, you know, where I got rid of all these things that had been influencing me to move in directions just kind of haphazardly, and now that I removed them, I didn't really have anything new. I didn't know what to do yet, so I began experimenting. I began discovering what it was that was my natural talent that just happened or that just occurred when I tuned in. What made me happy? I started drawing. It was something I did when I was very young. I doodled a lot and drew little cartoons and always really enjoyed it, but I never took it that seriously. But then later on during this time, I would just started drawing, and it made me happy, and I learned about myself. You know, as I often say, you know, you draw one thing, and if you're drawing or expressing yourself under the influence of the spirit, hey, you'll be just as surprised as anybody else at what comes out, and that teaches you about yourself. So you create, and then you reflect upon what you create, and then that experience changes you, and then you create again and reflect upon what you create, and you're living your life as an experiment with what's possible. So this was also the same time I started getting into the guitar playing and songwriting. You know, here I was a very trained musician, and I hadn't really like made my own original music. I'd always been playing other people's music, so I was just totally intense with writing songs. And once I started writing songs, it just started flooding out. I couldn't even do anything else practically. I was just like, song, song, songs. Here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another melody. Wake up in the middle of the night, some melody from a dream that I was listening to on a jukebox from a recording that I did in the astral plane or something, and then I would have to try to wake up. And you know, this is one thing that Ray Sasaki told me back in the early days, that you got to help it along. You got to create a circumstance, like you got to have rather than trying to sit down and create, you have to take it when it comes. You have to allow inspiration to move you, and go with it, and be ready, follow it through. You know, So I started having microphones ready all the time and notepads ready all the time, and left myself tools everywhere. So whenever it hit me, I just went with it and allowed it to go, and I kind of reflected on that. So, and then as I was doing this and trying to decide what I was going to do in my life for like a life path or a career, I was definitely thinking to myself that, man, I can't just specialize in one thing, that my art wanted to keep expanding, and I couldn't just focus on one thing. It wasn't enough. I needed to be free to go wherever I wanted to go and express whatever needed to be expressed. So I started to see that creativity itself was the link for me. That just being creative in whatever way, that I didn't have to be anything else. That was fine. That's who I am. I had to create my own path with it. And so I was considering what to do, and I started melding these two ideas, that of what I learned about Western culture and what I learned about Eastern philosophy. And where did they meet? They met in me. And then when I would then express myself, it would be there. And my good friend, one of the people that we listened to all those tunes with back in the day, Paul Hartsaw, who's a jazz musician in Chicago, I really like to thank him for for helping me through that time. He's like, man, you can't be an artist without art. And you can't be a musician without music. And he's like, man, you got to just go. Just keep making things. Keep creating things. And I did. And it worked. It was great. And then I wanted to take that, what I learned about myself, and share it with others. Because I felt like creativity was definitely a link to the universe. I mean, what is nature? Nature is pure creativity every day. God didn't just create the world. The world is created every day. Every day it's new. Every day it's fresh. Every day the sun shines in a new way. It's and we ourselves have to be able to see that, to appreciate that newness. And so I felt like if I could model, I could just express my art and share it with other people and encourage them to do it as well. Many people maybe have a secret file of poetry or, you know, a painting that they didn't feel like, well, I'm not a professional, so yeah, who cares? Everyone's a human being, and all human beings are creative. So there you go. You have to just do it. You have to not hesitate, not doubt. Sure, you know, maybe your first try is not going to be ideal. Yeah, so what? Try again. Do it again. Try again. Anything. Just allow yourself the luxury of that. So, yeah, I really think that people would be a lot happier and would have an easier time finding their own life's calling if they could just feel free and easy about expressing themselves, and if we could support that in each other. So I'd like to play another tune that I was thinking about today. Just as kind of indicative of the creative cosmos, something else I wrote. And yeah, here we go. It's called Heavenly Angels. Though it seems so paradoxical, not everything in life is logical. Some people will not see the possible wonder done for you. A chance of failing is improbable. The weight of time is so unstoppable. The Peter Piper picked a very scary Harry Pepper point of view. A host of heavenly angels, a host of heavenly angels, a host of heavenly angels watches over me. Say, a host of heavenly angels, a host of heavenly angels, a host of heavenly angels watches over me. It does not matter if you say a lot. It does not matter if you pray a lot. It does not matter if you sing a song or play along or what you do. Those who listen will join in the fun. Those who glisten will reflect the sun. Those whose only standing mission is condition will not carry through. Host of heavenly angels, host of heavenly angels, host of heavenly angels watches over me. Say, host of heavenly angels, host of heavenly angels, host of heavenly angels watches over me. Host of heavenly angels, host of heavenly angels, host of heavenly angels watches over me. Yeah, I'd like to thank you once again if you're listening. It's truly my pleasure to come here today and share this with you and my thoughts and all the things I've been working on and all the happiness it brings me to express myself in that way. So I had at that point, I kind of knew what I was going to do. I had a kind of had a mission that I made up for myself, and I began to manifest it on my website. I built a website because I didn't have to be limited. I could have music, I could have art, I could have put other people's in there. I could do pretty much anything I wanted, and it helped hold the idea, because it isn't anything specific. It isn't just one, you know. It isn't one thought or one angle or really a belief system. It's everything that anything. Well, you could say it's anything that expands you, anything that you find truthful, anything that that means something and is an expression of yourself or you care about, or it's just a knack. It's a nuance. It's an aesthetic. Once you see the works of Michelangelo and wonderful painter, probably one of my favorites right now, Alex Gray. Definitely encourage people who haven't checked out Alex Gray yet to look him up. Look him up tonight. It's a life-changing experience. But yeah, so anyway, I just started putting all these things together on the website. It's for those of you who don't know yet, it's creativecosmos.org. Once again, creativecosmos.org. And yeah, so I have a place on there for art, for music, writing. I definitely wanted to create an information center that had links to a huge variety of sources, and I put a lot of the people I talked about in like Beethoven and Bach and the masters, Osho and Yogananda, and I put a whole bunch of people together in what I call the Soul School. The place where I know if you visit there, you will be transformed. You read through the stuff and you are exposed to all these people's brilliant works. There's no way you can come out of it unmoved. So, and then I also linked on a planetary forum so people can share their thoughts with each other. And just post whatever they'd like. So, yeah, if you feel called, I encourage you to come and share with us at the Creative Cosmos and share in what I'm doing and reach out so I can share in what you're doing and we can make each other better for the process. I was totally amazed, like all the time when I was creating this Creative Cosmos site or coming up, sorting it out, my inclination, I thought I was just like creating something like, well, I was just creating my own thing, but it was a wonder and a pleasure to find that other people have felt called to do the same thing. One of the best things about this has been connecting with other people. Some of my other favorite websites, and I've become friends with some of the webmasters and talk with people who visit these sites every day or every other day. But yeah, like you can link. I have these on my site too, on the Creative Cosmos site. Just because I think these are also great worlds and great resources. The Red Ice site, Snodel site out of Amsterdam, totally cool. I told her I thought it was heaven on the internet. Cool guy in Saskatchewan, Indian in the Machine, and he just started a new website, Spirit Finder Music. I enjoy chatting with the people at Freedom Crow's Nest. I've definitely totally appreciated and enjoyed Surfing the Apocalypse website, and many of my articles have been through there, and I definitely have some readers and friends there. And another site that I've come to enjoy with really caring and supportive people, the Peepa Talk site, and Ronnie Soul Vibe site, and he's out of Scotland. So boy, just there already people all over the world. And yeah, it's just been great. And now to have this awesome new partnership with Don and the people at Blogging Service, it's like a dream come true. And all of your friendship and support and all you people that have helped me get this far and have the opportunity to share with the audience, this is just great. It's a tremendous opportunity, and I'm totally in gratitude and appreciative of it. So I'd like to close with just a little meditation. I'd just like to do a little Om meditation, and this is to raise our vibration. And if we get the vibration high enough, we might feel the spirit emerge through the process. Feel called to, and also allow the vibrations to just resonate your whole skeletal structure and sweep through your body. I'd like to thank you again, and I hope you tune in next week and that this becomes a regular thing for us where we can share these kind of ideas. And like I said, I'm totally looking forward to your calls and getting to know as many people as I can, and really helping to foster this awakening process that's happening everywhere. May you find awareness, happiness, and peace as you travel on this planet through space.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.